morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program from my apartment in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 22nd, 2020. South Sudanese students studying in Ethiopia storm the South Sudan embassy in Addis Ababa.
We came to embassy because we have now 2 weeks without having food. So we came to embassy to ask the embassy to give us something to eat.
And some residents of Tombura County in Western Equatoria State say the presence of SPLA-IO is scaring families.
Every evening I go to the bush where I can hide my children so that they are not killed by bullets in case there is fighting here in town.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A policy research institute in Juba is warning of a serious health, social and economic impacts of COVID-19 on South Sudanese. Boboya James Edmond, a researcher with the Juba-based Institute of Social Policy and Research, says the South Sudan government underestimated the magnitude of the COVID-19 pandemic. He says government's attempt to control the spread of the disease have not been successful. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Boboya James Edmond, a researcher with the Juba-based Institute of Social Policy and Research, says the number of COVID-19 cases has increased sharply in communities across the country while the government has no action plan for lowering the transmission rate.
In other countries, obviously, there are strategies that have been put forward. Some of them are a combination of preventive and also curative, but that was lacking in South Sudan. I know that, obviously, they have adapted the process of the measures in terms of wash your hand, the issues about physical distancing, the issue about use of sanitizers and something like that, but, of course, that was seen as not sufficient.
James says the government must do more to cap the pandemic.
And if we're not able to flatten the curve, something's going to be fundamentally wrong. We don't want to be economically driven in making our decisions, but we also have to look at the health and the social impact of this COVID-19 now and in the future.
Jamie's concerns are contained in a recent policy paper he authored entitled Examining Government Response to the COVID-19 Crisis, Success, Failure, and Lessons Learned for Future Management of the Public Health Crisis in South Sudan. James says the government has failed to explain key concepts about the pandemic to the public. He says some people do not understand terms like quarantine and isolation, which they should know if the government wants to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. James says South Sudan's new national task force on COVID-19 is not dominated by health experts.
The high-level task force ended up becoming a political driven process, and I think that was regarded by the public as a failure. And then also government is seen as not close to the people.
In the beginning, James says the government made admirable attempts to manage the pandemic. He says there was good work during contact tracing when the first 4 cases were reported, but suddenly the task force relaxed and things got out of hand. He says there was lack of commitment to provide robust awareness and the government failed to manage confirmed cases.
The public lost trust in the government and the public started behaving the way they want to behave as if there's no government, and that becomes problematic also. And then the other issue to do with secrecy. There's a lot of secrets that have been kept. Until today, there's a question to do with how many people have actually died of COVID. Nobody knows, apart from the ones that are recorded.
James calls on the recently reconstituted National Task Force on COVID-19 to do more to control the spread of the pandemic and says it should include the views of the health experts when making decisions. As of Wednesday, South Sudan reported 481 positive cases of COVID-19, including 6 recoveries and 6 deaths. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
South Sudanese students studying in Ethiopia under government scholarship stormed their country's embassy in Addis Ababa Thursday, demanding financial support from the South Sudan government to help them during the COVID-19 related restrictions in Ethiopia. The students say they have been starving for the past 1 week. South Sudan's Minister of Higher Education disagrees that the students have nothing to eat. Lasuba Memo reports from Juba.
Now, as we are talking to you, the police has beat one of our students and the student has collapsed.
More than 40 students stormed the South Sudan embassy in Addis Ababa on Thursday to protest the government's failure to provide financial aid to them. South Sudanese student Lual Deng led the group of students to the embassy.
We came to embassy because we have now 2 weeks without having food. So we came to embassy to ask the embassy to give us something to eat. The government is not promised us to give to take our responsibility, but now they are doing nothing. So we came to ask them, and they have now beaten all our students, and most of the students, they are now in terrible situation, and they are planning to take us to prison.
Lual was arrested by the Ethiopian police during the protest when he spoke to VOA. Saron Lojuan is a third-year economic student at Ethiopia's Walege University. He says in the past, the South Sudanese students used to receive $60 from the government on a weekly basis to buy food and meet other basic needs. He says the last time students received money from the government was more than a month ago. He says most students have spent all their money and have not eaten a meal for the past week.
They will give us $60, but this $60 will be a struggle for it. Now we receive $60 three times, whereby the all money that we receive is around like $190. But they will say this $60 for 10 days will stay more than like almost to 20 days.
South Sudan's higher education minister, Denai Jok Chagor, calls the students' complaints unjustified. He says the government acted swiftly and provided the students with financial assistance when his schools were closed in Ethiopia following the COVID-19 lockdown. Chagor says, like everyone else, the students are affected by the lockdown and are just homesick.
They want to come to South Sudan because the school is not open, and then they are staying there, and that is not, has nothing to do with that they have not been given money. Nothing to do with that they have not been having food or anything, because since the beginning of the closure of the schools in Ethiopia or all around the world, that's when the government of South Sudan acted right away, okay, to give them food, to give them money for feeding, and since then, they have been surviving on the support and assistance of the government of South Sudan.
Chagor was referring to the $3 million the government approved to help support South Sudanese students studying under government scholarship abroad. He says the students received financial aid sometime this month. When asked about the $3,000 the South Sudan High Level Task Force on COVID-19 approved to help students studying in Morocco, the health minister responded that all the students have acquired financial support of the approved $3 million. The student Lojuan says the students in Ethiopia have not received any money for at least a month.
As I'm talking to you, there is no money now anymore, there is no water in our apartment, there is no electricity. So things are really worse, and the deputy ambassador, even the student attache, they do not visit us in the apartment, they didn't come to the embassy. Now we are staying here, we are waiting, suppose they will see our solution, but there is nothing. And we are suffering really, we are dying of hunger, we are dying really.
Minister Chagor insists the students are simply tired of the lockdown and want to come and live with their parents. He says arrangements are being made to buy return flights for students who want to leave Ethiopia.
Well, the arrangement is going to be done today to know how many of them, because some of them actually like to stay there. They want to wait until the school is open. And so some of them are the ones that want to come here. So today the embassy in Addis will tell us how many of them that they have arranged for them to be brought, and then a flight will be arranged, a charter flight will be arranged for them to come back.
Makere Mangol Achen, Secretary General of South Sudan Students Union in Ethiopia, says the students do not want to return home.
It wasn't what we intended in the beginning. It is unoptional. Conditions subjected us into that situations of being taken back home. It will be optional to a student who are free now, who are not studying online, to go home. And those students, other students who are studying online or who are having their classes now, it is not necessary for them to go home. So they would prefer to be given money for following up all these processes.
Some students complained they were beaten at the embassy in Addis during the protest. The students accused officials at the embassy of calling Ethiopian police, who they said injured some of the students during a confrontation, an accusation Minister Chagor denies. For VOA News, I am Lesuba Memo in Juba.
The Sudanese transitional government is condemning violent attacks on medical workers in Omdurman Hospital over the past 2 days. A doctor at the hospital says several doctors and nurses were injured following physical attacks by visitors who resist COVID-19 preventive measures, including washing hands at the hospital's gate before accessing the facility. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from Khartoum.
Health workers at Omdurman Teaching Hospital say they were first attacked on Wednesday by family members of a sick man in his 30s who died in a hospital from bleeding caused by his injuries. The family accused the nurses of not giving the man enough medical attention, while others refused to undergo COVID-19 protective measures. Three nurses were seriously injured and hospitalized. The second attack occurred yesterday when people brought another sick person to the hospital and found health workers on a strike to protest the attack on their colleagues. During that incident, a medical doctor was beaten and two police officers were injured. Fatima Ali Issa works as a laboratory technician at the hospital's blood bank. Speaking in Arabic, Issa says some patients and family members were not adhering to COVID-19 protective measures. But Issa blames the administration for not providing enough security at the hospital.
We don't have enough security protection for health workers. I remember a month ago, similar attack also occurred on workers in the blood bank department. They attacked us, insulting us with bad words. So our workers are not safe at all.
Issa also says some health workers need to learn how to better communicate with the people.
Among our health workers, there are those who really need to be given some sessions on communication skills. Some core patients may not understand some decisions of doctors in the hospital. They only need their sick persons to be looked after. So some of these communications need to be told to them by health workers in an appropriate manner.
Sudan's Information Minister Faisal Muhammad Saleh condemned the incident and says health workers should be respected at all times, most importantly during the fight against COVID-19.
We wish the injured doctors a quick recovery, and we are here on behalf of all the Sudanese people to offer an apology. We would like for them to understand one thing, that the attackers do not represent the Sudanese people. Our people have huge respect and appreciation for the health workers for whatever service they are offering during this pandemic.
Saleh admits that some hospitals are experiencing a shortage of doctors due to increased cases of COVID-19 across the country. He says people should support health workers during this period instead of attacking them.
These doctors are really working in extraordinary circumstances, as they are in direct contact with the fight against this pandemic. If we look at other nations that have good health services, even they have found it difficult to fight COVID-19. Sudan is not an exception in this situation. We should appreciate what they are doing instead of attacking them.
Fatima and other health workers are asking the transitional government to protect them while they are on duty. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Thank you.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some residents of Tombora County in Western Equatorial State say they are living in fear. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Tell me about your favorite person.
My favorite person is my best friend. And we've been best friends since when we were children. And we've grown up. We are in tertiary level and we are still very close and good friends.
My favorite person is my friend. And she's a lady who really knows her worth. She knows her values. She stands for her values and all. She doesn't compromise.
My mom is my favorite person. She inspires me. She gives me the courage to do anything that I want.
Me, I'm a fan of basketball. I play basketball. And the person I like and impresses me too much is LeBron James. I follow him so much and I like his game.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some residents of Tombora County in Western Equatorial State say the presence of heavily armed SPLA-IO fighters in Tombora town is creating panic. The residents say they go to the bush at night or remote villages in case the former rebels clash with government forces in town. The county executive director says the former rebels should stay at cantonment sites at Namtina and avoid coming to town. Siba Martin Murangi reports for VOA from Juba.
A mother of three who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals from the SPLA-IO fighters says every time she sees the armed men in town, she fears they will clash with government forces. Speaking in Zande, Diaz says every evening she and her children head into the bush to hide.
Every evening I go to the bush where I can hide my children so that they are not killed by bullets in case there is fighting here in town. But when I think of snakes in the bush, I only rest my hope on Jesus and ask him, when will this difficult life ever end? I always make sure my children eat early so that we can look for a bush where we can put up for the night.
Natale Cosmos Dungura, the Tombora County Executive Director, confirms residents are living in fear.
On the ground now, you can see at evening hours, some of them carrying their ledges, crossing to the crossing airport to the other areas. People looking like there is an insecurity. Now the evening hours, people are not feeling well.
Dungura says Tombora County officials have asked Brigadier General Santo Alimbatayo, the SPLA-IO commander in the area, to stop coming into town. The SPLA-IO forces have settled in Namtina, about 4 kilometers from Tombora town. He says county officials have asked the former rebels to move to a designated cantonment site at Rirongo, located about 70 kilometers from Tombora town.
We were having a letter that we wrote to him that he had to move from that end with his force, 72 hours. He had to move from former Tombora state, 72 hours. But imagine, we wrote that letter, it took him like, he implement like 4 kilometers from that end. And then, now as a government, he's coming to town to scare people. But we are briefing on that. Please, if you want to come to town, maybe you inform the people here. Okay? And then also, you should not come with your guns or your weapons. You should not come in a well-armed like that. Because there is no war in the town here. Whom do you come well-equipped to? Because this is a government and you are part of government. So you are coming for your service here. Imagine if you feel like you want to come to Salon. You come and sit. So you should not bring people that can look like people who are very scared in the town.
Speaking in Arabic, SPLA IO Brigadier General Mbatayo says his forces only come into Tumbra to buy essential goods and flatly denies charges that his men are causing insecurity in town.
The first problem was on Yambi Road, where armed robbers robbed people taking their motorbikes. But later, some people reported that these were my SPLAIO forces robbing people. But there is no evidence because none of the perpetrators was caught. Proved that the attackers were either SPLAIO forces or government forces.
Other SPLAIO forces are in cantonment sites located in Maridi and Rirongo, among other places. Mbatayo is calling on government and SPLAIO forces to work together to restore peace and calm in the area. For VOA News, I am Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
U.S. President Donald Trump toured a Ford Motor Company plant now making ventilators outside Detroit. And the big question going in was whether he would wear a mask. AP Washington correspondent Shagar Megani reports.
After taking it for about a week and a half, the president says, "All I can tell you is, so far, I seem to be okay." Later adding, "I'm still here." Several prominent doctors worry the public may now infer the drug works or is safe.
Eid al-Fitr, the most festive Muslim holiday, is marked with celebrations, friends and family reunions, and a lot of feasting. This year, the coronavirus is threatening to dampen that spirit. VOA's Ayesh Hatazim reports on how Muslims around the world are planning to celebrate Eid al-Fitr this year.
Shops are finally open in Pakistan after a nearly two-month lockdown because of the coronavirus. It's days before Eid and customers are rushing to make up for lost time. The crowds in many bazaars are ignoring warnings and guidelines to protect against coronavirus. Rosina Abbasi is roaming around in an overcrowded bazaar without a face mask.
I don't think it's such a big deal. I want people to continue their lives and routines as usual. Whatever is fated to happen will happen.
Unlike Pakistan, many countries such as Egypt are still closed. Eid al-Fitr marks the biggest shopping season in most Muslim countries. But this year, many businesses will feel the pain of lost income. 19-year-old Kareem Mohammed works in a shoe store in Cairo.
Last year there were clients, there was movement, we were able to work. There was a source of income. Now there is no income, there is no season, we do not feel the season, we do not feel the hate.
Some countries, like Indonesia, have even banned the special group prayers for Eid. Others, like Saudi Arabia, are urging people to pray at home. And some, like Iran, are only allowing Eid prayers in open spaces with social distancing. The celebrations and outings that people have grown accustomed to on Eid will not be around this year. As Hajia Rukayat Usman told us from Nigeria.
The normal rituals is after the Salah day, on that day, people go out to visit friends and families. But these days it should be minimized.
That has led many to think of creative ways to bring some kind of normalcy in this abnormal situation. Sehrish Lodhi in Islamabad is preparing to hold video calls with family and friends.
This will be a kind of digital Eid. People will wish each other on phone calls or video calls. I think everyone will get ready and make videos, but won't be able to do much else.
People with children, like Sami Mahmoud of Cairo, are particularly concerned with creating a festive atmosphere at home.
We can take them to the balcony, bring them balloons at home, create for them an atmosphere of joy and happiness of the Eid, so they don't feel like we are in a catastrophe.
In one New Jersey county in the U.S., a Muslim mayor, Hamiduddin, has come up with a unique plan.
For us in Teaneck, I'm going to have front yard parties.
where basically everybody can go out in the front yard. You set up your chairs, you set up your table, and if you want to, people can drive by, and that's the way we're going to all see each other.
One thing is for certain. People will long remember this year's Eid as one of hardship and restrictions. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Islamabad.
A South Sudan policy analyst is warning of devastating consequences from COVID-19 and says the government has underestimated the magnitude of the pandemic. Baboya James Edamont, a researcher with the Juba-based Institute of Social Policy and Research, says the number of COVID-19 cases has increased sharply in communities across the country, while the government has no action plan for lowering the transmission rate. James says if the government is not able to flatten the curve, something is fundamentally wrong with the country. In a recent paper he published on the matter, James said the government has failed to explain key concepts to people about COVID-19, such as quarantine. More than 40 South Sudanese university students studying under government scholarship in Ethiopia stormed the South Sudan embassy in Addis Ababa yesterday to demand financial aid from the government. One of the students claims the students are starving. He says they ran out of their allotted money a while ago and have not received any new money from the government in at least a month. More than 40 students stormed the embassy on Thursday to protest the government's failure to provide financial aid. South Sudanese student Luol Deng led the group of students to the embassy. He was arrested by Ethiopian police during the protest and said some students were injured in that confrontation. And finally, at least 3 Sudanese hospital staff and 2 police officers were injured this week when family members of patients at Khartoum's Omdurman Teaching Hospital turned violent when asked to go through COVID-19 clearance procedures, according to health workers. Hospital workers say family members of a man who died also accused nurses of not tending to the man's needs. 3 nurses were seriously injured. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
I have been getting a lot of questions. People are asking me, what do I mean by this program is recorded via remote? Well, since COVID-19 hit the United States, VOA asked all its employees to work from home. So I have been working from home. That's our show for this Friday, when I'll leave you with a Boya traditional song from Eastern Equatorial State. We have been listening to a Boya traditional song. The Boya are found in Eastern Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for taking your time to be with us. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Thank you.
Let us go,